Hello, world. This is Harry's.
He's back.
He's back.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Harry's he's on fire.
He's back in the Mollymook scene, yeah. Telling us everything about what the last 6 weeks.
Last 6 weeks, yeah. Around
is that how long it's been?
Yeah, since I left Mollymook, you know, 6 weeks ago, and Bondi, the eastern suburbs, how affected it was.
Yeah, that's it. It's good to have you back. We had an awesome chat, so thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, Harry.
And if there's anyone out there that listens to music like we listen to music, you know for a fact that you're going to be affected by John Laws. We love him.
Enjoy, guys.
Training.
Yeah. Bring it pretty close to you. Yeah, so you don't have to lean over like a giraffe.
Welcome back, Harry.
Welcome back, Harry.
Harry's.
Good to have you.
Thanks for having us, fellas. Yeah. Been back in Mollymook. Well, you know, that I was here 6 weeks ago when Bondi got closed on the Sunday, and yeah, I didn't handle it well.
You were down here at the time when you got the news?
I was down here because we're going to have the 000 ball and they cancelled it.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was here to kind of help the community again, and then it just kind of, everything just went pear-shaped. It's like going from a fire to a bloody bat wing.
Yeah.
Give us a quick rundown of like how much has changed in that time. Or that period.
Oh, my God.
You're like, right.
Just the change was really hard to accept living in the eastern suburbs, because I think people all go about their way by having a swim, surf, showing off or flaunting what they drive or what they own.
Yeah.
And who they are, status. And then all of a sudden, like a disease virus, a bat skewer takes over, and you know, and you ain't got rubbing to back Batman up, you know. So yeah, it was full on for everybody. The people coming along the promenade were, that you know, a lot of them were beautiful, and a lot were just losing their absolute brains, and mental health was definitely at its worst, the worst I've ever seen it in 25 years.
Mm. Well, that's how most people keep their sanity, hopping in that water, getting that sunshine. It's that lifestyle based around Bondi. It's a lifestyle. Get out there, get amongst it.
Like you're living a really fast life in Bondi. Mm. You know, the people are working more hours than probably anywhere on earth. Probably New York or London would be the equivalent. So they've got, you need an outlet. It's either that or pretty much move on, and everyone was stuck. You couldn't go anywhere because you're in ISO, or if you're allowed out, you're only doing like a training session. So it was really hard for the young people. I noticed like they liked to selfie every moment, and that was the first thing I noticed. Like people were doing selfies, and I'm going, my God, they said we need social distancing straight away, and they're not doing it. Leading into it was really hard. Before I actually come here, like coronavirus was actually, they were saying, you know, it's going to be deadly and all that, but people didn't take it serious. No. As you've seen on the beach, was packed. I was at Bronte on that busy day where you see all the pictures go around the world, that, you know, where there was like 40 or 50,000 people down at the beach of Bondi. And it's that Australian way. People go, "You'll be right, mate." And you know, it kind of ruined it for the rest of Australia, not being on the front wood step and saying, "Hey, we better do something." Like from the first day, knowing that we're going to have hot weather, beautiful water temperatures, and good waves rolling through, it was going to be a mecca for people coming down to the beach. You know, so yeah, we rescued a lot of people. I mean, I pulled 15 people in at Bronte. Which is obviously a quieter beach than Bondi, and we had bad medical situations going on where you weren't supposed to touch people, and it, you know, had blood and sweat all over me. You know, in those first couple of days. And I come down here, and I thought, oh, you know, the message would get out that people will kind of do the right thing, give a bit of social distancing, you know. But no, not in Bondi. And I mean, I couldn't stop laughing. The police commissioner come on and said, that he spoke to someone in Bondi. Actually, this was North Bondi, and I love this so much. And they said, oh, we don't get coronavirus in North Bondi. It doesn't exist here. It's like the it must be the emissions of their cars just blow all the coronavirus away or something.
It's a pretty special place up there.
Oh, my God. It just blows my mind. Yeah, no, we don't get it here. That's the rest of the world. So, yeah, it affected everyone, like obviously hairdressers, Botox clinics, the teeth whitening places, all shut down.
So they completely fenced it off, fenced Bondi off.
Oh, there was a fence from one end to the other, and the only time it's ever been fenced off to that is either a big festival on New Year's Eve,
yeah,
or the equivalent would be the war when they actually had the beach barbed wired off.
Yeah, I saw a few photos of that.
That's gnarly. Yeah, they used to barbed wire the beach off so, no one would go into the water and, because of the Japanese invasion and all that. Yeah. And the mini subs. So, so it was pretty hard to take on. And you guys, we all know we love surfing. I can't go each day without a surf.
Mm.
Like, I'm buzzing to get down to Rennie's now. So, yeah, that was full on watching waves break. And then there's people you talk to for the past, 25 years of your career, and then you have to stop them from going in the water. And that was terrible.
Mm.
I've just given someone the most beautiful remedy ever. Then you're taking them away from it. They're going, well, you've got to stay indoors, but everyone knows that in the modern day, we want to do stuff. We want to be active. We want to be in the water. And there's so much mental health out there. Mm. They throw the word around. I think we said in the last podcast, we talked a little bit about it. Mm. I did see a couple of deaths down off the beaches. And there's people run into you and they go, I didn't think that happens. And it's like...
more than your usual.
More than usual.
So are you saying suicidal?
Suicides, yes. Yeah, so I was involved in two suicides on a Monday and a Tuesday. And it's part of your job now, going out and helping where you possibly can. But it definitely hit home. There was a lot more that the rate went right through the roof. And and that's really sad,
I didn't think that because we had the restrictions down here, they're a little bit less... a little bit less strict. They don't have the signposts in the ground like that they do up at Bondi and Cronulla and places like that. But I bumped into a lady down here that I'd never met before, and she just opened up absolutely her whole life story and explained the reason why she's telling me is that she had just put a life story aside, but she had just joined a community that helped her kind of start to get her mental health back on track, and then this hit her, and she's just isolated, not with the self-isolation that we're trying to do to help the world, but she was, her illness was far greater than what she thought that a virus is. And I've seen more and more of it. I don't have the stats or the numbers to say it, but I would say that it would be far bigger than what we're probably seeing.
Mm.
Damn
good point.
It's the old risk and safety, risk kind of versus reward, and we always look for that reward to kind of get us through the day. And mental health just went rampant. Do I know anyone with coronavirus? No.
Mm.
Did I see thousands of people get tested? Yes, at Bondi. I got tested myself, because I'm like, I better get tested if I want to go see my mum and dad.
Yeah.
You don't want to infect anyone. So, it's so full on. I want to obviously be as honest and ethical as I possibly can in this podcast, but I'm it's hard for me as well, being a lifesaver number one, lifeguard, public figure. So obviously you're going to have politicians and all that hanging around you. Do I think it's real? Well, I kind of hope it's real because it's affected a lot of people.
Mm.
I know people have died from a virus. I know people die from the flu.
Yeah.
In every year, we lose a lot of people from the flu and common cold. But yeah, this is full on. Like, and I just wanted to do the right thing by the government, because first though, I'm out there as a public servant, and I've got to kind of be at the forefront of the community and, you know, being that custodian kind of person. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't met anyone with a virus.
Can I drop back to where you said that the general population of people in Bondi that are stoked to get around in their Ferrari and their Range Rover, like, I know that's not everyone, but like the more showy parts, like, would you say that it was a pretty good time of self-reflection? So for instance, we've noticed down here and like around the world, it's been an awesome time for self-reflection and like getting in amongst your family, doing the things that actually matter versus what we think.
Yeah, totally. I think when someone is so money driven that it probably takes something of this effect to actually think about you or think about your family and go, what's really important? If you're just going, I've got a flashy house, I've got an amazing car, and I've got a family too. And it's like, what's the most important thing to you right now? Because if there's no toilet paper on a shelf and there's no food on a shelf, right, and you know, you can see everyone in a battle and you go, right, how am I going to get through this? Well, it's about being with your family. It's about believing in yourself and thinking about humanity a bit too, you know, helping someone else out that might need help out there. It's a real shame that we've had the bushfires and now we've had the coronavirus, but I can see the real good in this too, because Australians have never opened up to other Australians like they did with the bushfires. So it's like we're literally living through a history repeating itself. We've been through a First War and a Second World War, and we're banding together, and that's a great thing. If it's from China, I don't want to buy clothes from China. I want clothes from here.
You know,
I want first aid gear from here. I want everything from here. I want to buy something that's Aussie made with a kangaroo on it.
Or recycled or reused, or it's basically everything that Trading Lightly is about, you know, like having low kilometres to your door, everything that...
Yeah, that's...
Everything everyone's noticing that we can do.
Well, I mean, we've got the best country in the world. Everyone wants to be in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got to look after it more.
Yeah.
You know, like I this would be like the biggest shock ever for the politicians and obviously the mining and all the fossil fuels and that we're selling overseas.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not an expert with that stuff, but we need to look after our own country and like really look after the small people. And I think this is going to hit home more than ever. You know, how much money are they outlaying this government? You know,
I think it's $320 billion.
That amount of money, you know, that's going to take years. Like our kids are going to probably be paying what's happening back. You know, and we've all been affected. Like I've got.
I mean, yeah, like there's been airlines collapsed. You know,
yeah, like I was, you know, insane. I mean, I was the face of Qantas. I don't know if I told you that in my podcast. When I was 24 years old, a Skybed came out for Qantas, and I was the face of Qantas, and I travelled around the world travelling with that Skybed. And after that, I got a job as a cabin crew for Qantas, and I flew for him for like 7 years, you know. So with the lifeguards, I did both jobs. I would have never thought like a national carrier with Qantas that's been around since 1920 it was established.
Yeah. Look at this guy.
That, you know, that we wouldn't have a national carrier in the air.
Mm.
It's crazy. And there probably won't be international travel for ages.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of the people walking around the beach that are, you know, I actually ran into a guy at Qantas that runs the beach. His name's Andrew, runs the beach at Bondi. He's the second highest up in Qantas as a captain. He was crying on the beach. He only flies 747s because he's old school. He won't fly the Airbus 380. Goes, he hates it. He likes his hands on. Bit of a ladies' man, but a couple of wives. Every captain has got a couple of wives. We won't go there. Yeah. That was before social media, everyone. My name was Trent, the flight attendant, too, by the way. Let's not go there. Tea, coffee, or meat. Sorry, a bit off track.
We've got him cranking now.
No, just fire.
Keep rolling.
He was crying on the beach, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "I've just flown the 747 plane in. It goes to a place where they, I don't know, I think it's in America somewhere where they put them to rest, all these 747s.
Mm.
He worked with it for the last 30 years. And he said, it was my last day of work.
Yeah.
Lost his job.
Mm.
So, you know, like that was the magnitude of someone that I thought was invincible, that he is like, I won't high note myself here, but he's got 550 passengers on board his flight. When I'm a lifeguard in charge of the beach, I've got 5,000 to 50,000 people in an unfamiliar environment, not a controlled tin can that's flying around in the air.
Mm.
And, you know, he's kept so many people alive, you know, for that safety record. And I think, wow, you know, this guy's done a brilliant job. It's kind of similar to what we've been doing, or, you know, what other emergency service people have been doing. That's where it's hit home, that, you know, they're on JobKeeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're on big money, and, you know, so you reinvent the wheel. I don't know what to do, you know. I kind of hit the wife up. I said, what are you needing to do, you know? Topless events.
In your own home.
in isotonic. Something would work in the UK.
It's good to have. It's cracking himself up.
It's good. Why don't we film this?
We should film it too. So, but in saying that, it's really good to have, like, you know, the air's cleaner. It's showing the air's cleaner.
Oh my God!
You know, satellite images. You know, there's, out of all the fear that's drummed into the news, they give you like a 2-minute skit saying, you know, we can actually, you can visit the Great Wall and there's no pollution there, and
Has you guys, I don't know if you've noticed, the water, the clarity in the water has gone up, like we're talking probably 20%. It was clear before, now we're nearly...
So it's up there too, I thought it was just down here in Gulf Country.
I think all the coral's back.
It's crazy. So why, I don't know, is it all the sunscreen we're wearing or the diesel fuel, you know?
Probably everything. I mean, we're not driving as much, are we?
Yeah.
So there's less crap emissions on the road. There's less emissions.
Had the standard chit chat to a bloke, you know, checking the surf the other day, and along these lines, and he's talking about how, you know, some politicians will throw out the lines like, oh yeah, we can't live without coal and dirt, like, you know, this and oil and that, and then the universe is like, here, F ya.
Yeah.
Have this COVID virus.
Totally.
See what you can do with that.
Yeah.
And like, oh yeah, we could probably live, you know. See how sustainably we can do that. It's also, regardless of, like what you said, real or not, like, you know, we're hoping that it's a thing, but regardless, it's just showed whole world what we can do, and also highlighted, you know, let's clean up our own backyards, start growing our things at, like, Bunnings.
Yes, selling out of seed.
Selling out of seed.
Well, you should see, look at our garden out there. Like, it's just...
good to look how green it is.
Yeah, now, we just...
The yuckers, look at the yuckers.
Yeah, well, we pulled a lot of them out.
Did you?
And just all foods and fruit trees, you know, things that you can eat.
It's awesome. It is, yeah. Like,
and, you know.
I've been in the garden myself, yeah.
Yeah, how good is
it? I know Don Burke got in a bit of trouble, but.
Is that your next, do you reckon that's your next thing?
Come on. Better Homes and Garden, I can see you on there.
Yeah, definitely.
Get a gig on there.
Yeah. Are you guys listening?
Harry's home wears.
he's got something wrong. No.
Yeah, hopefully got a couple of things on the move, hopefully in the too distant future.
Can you give us a few tips or hints or what's coming up?
Yeah, I want to do home Pilates, because obviously I reckon 50% of gyms are going to be down. You know, and I'm an ambassador for one of the biggest gyms in Eastern Suburbs or Bondi. It's the most beautiful gym on earth, Elixir Health Club. But yeah, I don't know. I don't reckon people are going to be just spending money just willy nilly. Whereas they're happy to do stuff at home, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna stay at home until it all comes back in a couple of years' time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we will go to the gym, but some people that are doing it, I suppose, just to stay pain-free. We do it like not only to be pain-free but to look good and feel good. So yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, there'll be a big decline for sure. And you know, health and fitness is, that was on the way up hugely, as you know.
And rightly so. It's one of the, if it's done correctly, like, you know, it helps you steer clear of that.
Totally.
All the nasty demons traveling through the mind and
yeah,
all the illnesses that attach to it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, lower back pain's one of them, but there's so many other things going on apart from lower back pain. Obviously, the mind.
Mm.
The mind's a lot powerful than the back. God. So, actually, an interesting little thing there just on that. I had dinner with Dr. Stuart McGill, and I might have told you guys that, like, I do a bit of his technique. He's a leading spinal specialist. Mm. So if there's anyone out there that's a physio, chiro, anyone that's a clinician, he's written the most science-based, evidence-based books in the world on your back and spinal hygiene. So he's world-renowned and world-regarded too. So I had dinner with him, and I asked him about the spine, how much, because he's just retired. He's done 40 years of study.
Mm.
And I said, how much has the spine changed in your 40 years of study? Like the shape of the spine. That's what I was interested in, because obviously we're changing as well because we're sitting a lot more and all that. And he said it obviously declined, and that's why back pain was so severe, and the spine started changing shape to go with the curvature of the chair. Whereas, as we know, people would start getting rounder in the upper back, and you know, and they'd get like they flex through the lower back too, so the diaphragm wasn't working correctly. And he said in the last like 4 years, I think it was 4 or 5 years, that the spine started to change again, back to being elongated and having the 4S curves of the spine, which I found interesting.
And so what's changed?
People
doing differently?
People are out exercising. People more. Are doing the corrective exercise, you know. As you probably noticed with the virus, right, everybody was out running. Have you noticed, like, everyone's just pounding the pavement, and, like, me being a Pilates teacher, I'm going, well, I run myself heaps. I still run, but I'm going, this is great for business. This is just like a jackhammer going through your hips and knees and your ankles. Something's got to give. You have to pay a toll somewhere. If you're not going across the Harbour Bridge, you're going to be paying it somewhere.
Yeah. So you got to balance it out.
You got to balance it. Yeah, balance is the way.
We call it the Buril Lake Bridge down here.
Oh, is there a toll there?
There probably will be at one stage.
Actually, as long as we just don't get Billy Goat's Gruff under there. Yeah, so it's away from, you know, hopefully everyone does get back into a great routine and they get their jobs back as well, so they feel like there's self-worth out in society. That's a big thing.
So you were saying you're going to do Pilates, like, what, on Zoom from home?
Oh, everyone wants me to do the Pilates Zoom. I haven't been doing it. I've been doing my own stuff. I'm going to create, I'm just about in the next 2 weeks to put my own app in place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so cool. So then I'm going to grab the content. So I've spoken to a couple of experts that I've trained with saying, hey, that I've done my qualifications through. Hey, can I do your technique in my app? And then I'll sell your equipment through my app. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a win for them because I'll channel it in different directions, and then it's a win for me. So yeah, and then I can build on it, so do more stuff. Dean, one of the lifeguards, is a Wim Hof, and he's done everything now with breathing, everything, and he's just gotten so good at it. So he's running courses in that. I'm going to go back and study more with American people that I did the functional movement systems, Gray Cook, and then I'm going to finish the Dr. Stuart McGill stuff, so I can put all this in an app. And then
sounds like it'll be a pretty solid app.
And then, yeah, then we might have, you know, and we have stuff for after dark. I'm married, everyone. Yeah, although she wants to sell me off at the moment.
Yeah, the chef, you at home too much?
At home too much, and soup is no good. So, yeah, she's not going to get much.
So tell us, what do you reckon the main change? Are people out and about in Bono? Like, is it starting to ease off at the moment, or?
Oh, it's changed heaps. It was so much quieter on the roads. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
and people were nicer.
Yeah.
You know, I firstly got a hint of how beautiful people were for what they did with the bushfires.
Mm.
And that really, I seen like a lot of people quite emotional about the bushfires because it was home. And that's what made me so driven by making sure that I did everything in my power and like to raise money for the bushfires. And that's actually why I'm here now, you know, because I couldn't drop the money down that a Greek church raised money for. You know, I had a friend that was doing stuff and I said, listen, I need money for a family down here. A mother has lost her house and she's got a son with cancer. And, you know, so I just went, that was my next mission, you know. So luckily I, you know, got a couple of more grand for her to help her out in some way. It's to buy food or whatever. So, yeah. So that's why it was really good seeing all the Aussies just band together. And now we went through that, the kind of the emotion. And now I feel like emotion kind of led to kind of anger and despair because we're going, now we're really tested. Like, we've got no money, you know. Now we need the government to give us money.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
My Pilates class has stopped, you know. It went from like 30 in a class and then I had 10.
Yeah.
And then it went from 10 and then I'm doing one-on-ones, you know, so it was like, and then my other business, like not my, the contract, I'm so lucky because I can endorse products and some of those people just couldn't afford to keep me on and, you know, they felt bad about ringing me, you know, and it's good. It's good and bad. Yes, of course I want the money. Don't we all want the money?
Mm.
But I'm going, well, a human suffering out there and, you know, if you can't pay me, at the end of the day, it's money and I've got two healthy kids and a beautiful wife, you know? Mm. So, okay, the money's not there, but I've got this.
Mm.
Way better.
So it's allowed you to, like, reevaluate?
Oh, my God. Like,
I think it's done that for a lot of people, eh?
The best, it's so good. Like, the... Okay, because I got to say it.
Go.
I've been running into so many surfers and everything. So, I can't believe the catfish got us. I've rescued so many Chinese. I've rescued so many Chinese and then this happens. I can't believe it. All I can see is a bloody big bat wing on a skewer.
Hey, I heard it was created in a lab.
You could have been, telling you. Well,
never know, man.
Like, you know, like the...
Where does the truth lie? Harry's, where does the truth lie?
The truth...
We've lied.
Well, the truth actually... Where's the truth lie? You've actually... Yeah, you've summarized it quite well because the truth is the lie. It's pretty much... There's no bloody bat that's given it to us. For sure, this is... They've definitely done something that has caused this and it's definitely been made.
Yeah.
For sure. My view is, yeah, that they wanted, it must have been something between America and China, and then all of a sudden, you know, the whole world's got it.
So you reckon it's based off money in the end?
100% money, 100%.
Mm.
If it wasn't going to be a nuclear war or, you know, a shooting, it was going to be some other, and this is like a chemical war to a degree.
Well, I'd be hesitant in just pointing the finger at one particular country either.
You don't reckon?
No.
Okay. What? Yeah.
Debate. Go.
Well, you never know. You say it's money, but I think really the money is above any particular one country.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, I'm not that educated. But it's so funny hearing it off so many people. Like someone was in the cafe at North Bondi the other day. And I'm getting a coffee, and they go, it's Bill Gates' fault. And I'm like, oh, no way. Like, I taught Pilates at Microsoft for 4 years, so that was the best time of my life.
You know what? I reckon that out of this, comedians are just, they're on a field, they've got a field day. They're waiting to have their moments of just...
I mean, they're
going to just make up way too... There's just too much material.
Oh, so good. Like, you just walk in and you're going to speak to a comedian, and the first thing he's going to do is, have a bed with me, mate. Come on, a Corona. Yeah, no, nah, yeah.
We're all... What's his name? JP.
Oh, yeah, Sears.
JP Sears?
Yeah.
Man, everyone, check out JP Sears, the latest video he's done on the COVID on YouTube.
Really?
It is brilliant. Speaking of comedians, like, But comedians are great at spilling some truth under the guise of comedy.
Mm. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Check. He does it brilliantly. You got to check that one out.
Oh, God. You know, and if they, you know, if this disease is that bad and they haven't got a cure for it, might take 2 years, you know. But this, I know they put so much doom and gloom into it, and there's so much bloody good out there.
Yeah.
The water is incredibly blue, and you can see, you know, I don't know if you guys have been to the Maldives, but that is the clearest clarity in the water, I think, in the world. And when you dive under a wave with goggles on, you can see, like, you know, 30 or 40 meters ahead of you. It's that clear, clear as day. You can look up a reef break and you can watch a wave coming. It's incredible. But I'm seeing that in the ocean. It's been amazing. We've had more grey nurse sharks coming into Bondi than ever before. I think there was 5 in the bay last week at the one time.
Mm.
So, you know, the ecosystem's obviously going, thank you for healing us for a month.
Yeah, you know? It's been a nice break.
Yeah. And it's going to, you know, that awareness is obviously with brands on with, like H2 Coco, you know. Everything's
the more that positive gets, like, if that was thrown out on the media, you know, on the news more often, like, oh, this is what's going on, that would be, there'd be so much less fear about this whole thing, and just the change, the positive change.
At the end of the day, I have to support the Prime Minister, because I think, like, he's going to get crucified or whatever he's done, but
he's had a tough run,
you know, like, he's you know, the bushfires was one of them, but I think now he's come through, you know, amazingly. Like, people are going to tarnish him and say he could have done better here and there. But, you know, like, we've all lost money. He's putting money in our accounts.
Mm.
That's crazy. It's so good. Like, if your company's lost money, he's putting money in our accounts. Like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. You know, like, I hope no one does anything wrong by that too, because it's all our money.
It is, yeah, you know, it is our money.
We all work so hard, you know, all the taxes we pay here.
Mm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's been a journey. There's been people walking around Bondi that are getting tested. I feel for them all, you know, because they're probably in the same boat as you and I. That you want to go visit your loved ones, but they don't. If they did have the virus, they don't want to infect them. In saying that, I don't know anyone with it.
So have you had to get your flu shot yet to be a lifesaver?
Yeah, no, I'm not getting a flu shot. No way. Now, I openly and honestly say I'm too healthy. You know, like, I'm the face of a coconut company. I'm the face of a wheatgrass company. And I'm not getting a flu shot. And people might be listening to this going, oh, mate, he's mad. He's got to get a flu shot. A client of mine last week was coming to a Pilates class and didn't turn up. And I said to them, like, an hour later, are you okay? And they said, no, I'm not okay. They had the flu shot and had an adverse reaction to the flu shot. And they were as high as a kite and they couldn't leave the surgery. Okay, this was like 2 weeks ago. Okay. Now, this guy he's had a back operation. His lower back goes in and out. I've been helping him so much with all the training methods I've been doing. From that flu shot, he's had like 7 days of back pain.
Wow.
Yep. From that. So it's obviously set something off in him. His immune system has gone to an all-time low from having it. The guy's like 60. He's that hot and handsome. You know, so he's doing what society's saying do. And yeah, I'm just using that as an example. Please don't.
Well, there's plenty more of those.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm all for it's your choice. And let's keep it that way. You know, all this kind of government-mandated stuff, do not agree with one bit.
Yeah, do what you want. We all surf different surf breaks. You keep going the same way, you know you're going to get sick.
What do you reckon, Nick?
No, I'm, completely against the flu shot being a thing that you have to have. If you're someone like Harry... And I consider myself quite healthy as well. I'm useless to the health system. I don't give it anything. I don't go to a doctor with. Like, I would if I needed to. I'm not saying that it's useless, but I'm useless to it.
You know, yeah, exactly. I know we're young, we're still young, and but we're living through health. Yeah. We're eating so healthy, and that's the instrument to us being who we are.
Yeah.
That literally, we know that you are what you eat.
I mean,
so more education on that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just feed that more. Has there been any talk about maybe up your vitamin C or vitamins? You know,
I would 100% love, and we should definitely. I think his name's come up every single podcast.
Yeah, I spoke to him the other night.
To have a mate, Dan Sipple, is a really good naturopath
in town,
and he'll delve into the extremes of it. But basically bulletproofing yourself to make yourself feel like I don't need to go to a doctor. It's not saying that, it's not shaming the people that feel like that. Yeah, yeah, unwell, and you really need to go, and you need to see someone.
Yeah,
but get yourself to that point. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah,
and I'm, you know, you're living proof. I am living proof. And I would still speak to a naturopath. Say for instance, I've got back pain. I know that could be gut related to, you know, my brain, then back to my, you know, the nerves in my back. But understanding, having that awareness comes from who you speak to, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you want to. Yeah, GPs are amazing, but it's a general practitioner. You want an expert in that field.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the same. It doesn't matter who you go to. Like, I've worked with heaps of physios, and some are really good with knees or hips, you know, or ankles, and some are...
average.
Some are just not good at that, but they're good at the shoulder or the neck, you know, or the thoracic junction.
Yeah.
And then I've got one physio that I send everyone to for lower back dysfunctions because he's just amazing. He's got a 99% success rate of lower backs, right? So he played for the Wallabies. And then I go, this other guy that doesn't go along the techniques that these other guys go along, so he's really good with shoulders. He goes, oh, that's a whole heap of bullshit that you're saying. And I'm going, but hold on, the American physios, these guys are leading physios in the world. He goes, that's a lot of shit. That's what he says. This is what I do. And he's got a proven track record of doing it.
Can I note that, like, a good mate of mine that's a doctor in this town is extremely good at referring on, and instead of saying, here's this medicine, so, like, yes, I might actually use the healthcare system in that sense, like, to get that referral to say, oh, like, who do you know, basically, that's going to deal with this style of injury or this type of thing, but not for the drugs that should be a supplement to get yourself, all right, you know, here's the... whatever it is, so you can come start drinking Harry's wheatgrass.
One shot is five times stronger. Just have it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, doctors are good for, at this time, if people are suffering from mental health, that they should actually go see a psychologist counsellor to help them through it. Just get some good tools in place. That's do I do it? Never did for the best part of my career. But you know, it's mandatory for us to go get treatment if we're, you know, pulling dead bodies.
Listen,
out.
I was going to ask, when you mentioned that, you know, you had to pull two in two consecutive days. Like, how do you cope with that?
Because I've kind of grown up and it's been part of what I've done. I don't know any different now. It's just, you know, like, I see the person like as, I want the person to get home to their loved one, you know, to see at least they've got something to say goodbye to, and there's a closure for them with that. But so that, you know, that doesn't affect me. The bodies don't really affect me. You know, it's been a journey, and you, as we were saying before, you have to pay a tax at some level, and yeah, that's why I do go and get, you know, counseling, just talk through it.
What are some of the practices that they would
go through?
So, like, I know that there's a, say for instance with the fire brigade, it's called Raw Mind, and they'll talk you through, you know, all different mindfulness techniques and things like that, and they've got all different counseling things that are set up as well, because, you know, seeing what you see,
yeah,
but it's, you know, it's a similar process. But I'd be interested to hear what you've kind of
they'll just say what happened. You go through, you know, you basically, you know, tell them everything you were involved in, and then they'll ask you, how has it affected you? And so, you know, I might have had, you normally, when you deal with a deaf, and doesn't matter who's listening to this or how bulletproof they are, you know, my dad trained the special forces in the army in Vietnam. So it doesn't matter who you are, everyone gets affected at some element. For me, it's more that, you know, at night you probably would think about it a little. You know, the hard thing is when you do see a dead body, you never forget the what the person looks like. You know, I can remember 25 years ago going for my first one, and I said, God, that's, you know, this is something you probably, you know, shouldn't say. But I seen this lady, and she, you know, she'd taken her life. And the first thing I said was, wow, she's got the same hairstyle as my mum.
Mm.
So the relevance there is that it's a human, and it could be a mum, and that's a person that's loved and cherished, you know. So, and you go, wow, that's someone's life, you know, that's just taken within seconds, and it's terrible. But they'll go through a whole heap of things, and they'll ask you stuff like, do you see yourself more hypervigilant? Yeah, well, you do. You become like, your awareness is a lot more. You're in two stages, and you start thinking about flight or fright, you know, because you know, at some stage there's always going to be a stage of fright. Wouldn't it? If you're on a war zone, you'd have a stage of fright.
Mm.
If you've got a dead body in your hands, you're a stage of fright, because you're going to do your best to save that person's life, you know.
Mm.
And you know, there has been times in my career. I remember there was a person on the bottom, and I was only a kid. I was like 19, and I kept looking down at him. I'd grab him and I'd pull him, trying to get him to the service. And I was frightened, and I was also in flight. I couldn't get him to the top, so I'd let him go. Mm. So I was in flight, I'd have to take off.
Mm.
So you're playing two roles here.
Mm.
You know, it's an incredible job.
Have you witnessed how that has affected your health afterwards, like physically?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There was one deaf that affected me, I wouldn't say really badly. It put my hypervigilance and my emotions and anger and frustration all into a cup, and I was just like, I could relate, because I had so this guy was his name was Matthew Reichel. He was a CEO of an international book company called Hatchets, and I had to rescue him. But he was alive when I seen him on the camera at Bondi, and I had to come on the jet ski over to Tamaram and pick him up, which this was something that I've done it 1,000 times, you know what I mean. And I got to him anyway. I pulled him into the shore, and we started resuscing him. And his mate, I think his mate's name is Luke, he was a lawyer on top of me, and he's going, you've got to bring him back to life. He's got a 3 and 6 year old at home. You've got to bring him back to life. At the time, I'm just procedural, doing my role, you know, mm-hmm. resuscing him, utilizing what I had around me. And then, you know, then after that, when I couldn't save his life, the anger. You know, because I was really angry, like, you know, because I was, you know, I wanted more services in place. There wasn't that. And then I was angry because I couldn't save his life, and he's got a 3 and 6 year old at home. I had a 3 year old at home. That was my big boy now. Mm. So yeah, that affected me.
Mm.
And it's, yeah, like I did go to the counselor a couple of times. Should I have gone more? 100%.
Right.
Should have gone heaps.
Mm. Is that because of your awareness about it now?
Yeah, yeah. So spiraling out of control, like with anger. I was angry, you know, because there was a lot of things that weren't in place, and some things just couldn't be done. But yeah, like, and then, you know, then I ended up in a coroner's court, and I'm in front of a prosecutor, and they're cross-examining.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, like this is, you know, they say.
And is that bringing it up in... stirring it?
No, okay. not at all. No, not one bit, because I've lived that moment, right? Okay. And there's closure to that. But, you know, like, you're not... Rescuing someone's a great job.
Yep.
You're rescuing someone's life. It's amazing. And you can't get the American touchdown every time. You know, like, in the last year, I've resuscitated 6 people dead. 3 of them lived, 3 passed away.
Mm.
You know? Suicides are a different story, you know. When they're going to do it, it's really hard.
Mm.
So yeah, does it bring a lot back on? Nah, you kind of think, well, it's been, you've done a lot too, you know. So it's been,
mm.
so But I do suggest people get counselling. Would I said that back in the day? It was something that wasn't done back in the day, but yeah, get it done.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, people need to talk, and you know, I've never had depression. So the people get bad depression, they need help.
And would you also class that you haven't gone deep into those thoughts, like, you know, like darker thoughts, because you keep yourself healthy as well?
I was driven by, you know, there was something else driving me. I'd never would focus too deeply and wholly solely on an equation, because the, you know, typically it's going to happen again. It could happen an hour later, you know. So you can't, like, you can't just own that equation and think that everything that you're going to do is going to change the world, you know. But if you can, you know, you can make a little step difference, it'll, you know. And in that I changed it.
Do you see yourself start to become a bit of a mentor for the younger lifeguards coming, like, with that explanation? That's perfect. That, you know, that sounds to me perfect.
Yeah.
Way of rationalizing.
Yeah, because in the you know, like, it, kids have changed now. I should, you know, kids are, anyone for me is under 30 down, you know, I'm 44, and so I get all these people working with me, or, you know, doing stuff with me. And it's what I try and do now is not throw them in the deep end, because they don't like being thrown in the deep end. But back in the day, they'd go, you go, it's you, just go, just do it. You're going to learn from what you do. So what now I try and do is set the example for them, because I know that it's going to be a big task for them to take it, you know, a resuscitation on of a person that's fallen off a cliff face. So I'll do it. And I say, I just, you know, you watch.
Yeah.
And then I'll expect it from them next, you know. And that's all I wanted to do, because I know it's very hard for them to, it's confronting, you know, it's similar to an old police officer be able to pull his pistol out and shoot to kill. A new police officer will pull his gun out and might take a knee out. It's the role. They've been trained to kill, but they'll take the knee out because I know it's not going to kill him. The old police officer won't. His execution is measure once, cut once. You know, so it's just, that's just society that we're in now.
It's just shifted, it's just changing.
So whereas, yeah, it's shifting, it's definitely changing. You know, and I'm not giving them a hard time. They need direction, they need to be told.
I totally think, yeah, just every generation, we're definitely changing.
Changing.
I mean, our kids are roughly the same age and they're totally different. And I feel we parent a lot different.
Complete, like,
you know, and you have to.
Have to, like, they've got feelings and emotions, you know, now. You know,
yeah.
My old man got his toe chopped off, right? And I said to him, "How are you? How do you feel?" And he goes, "There's nothing wrong with me." I go, "What do you mean? Okay, is it affecting the way you walk?" And he goes, "There's nothing wrong with me."
Yeah,
you know, the way they were trained through the army and his background.
Yeah,
you know, he it was raining one Anzac Day. He went and marched all day and then took the dog for a walk and had a massive heart attack in the back lane. And I found him inside the house and his eyes were pin-like, and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "My mate told me to drink brandy."
Oh,
he's drinking brandy. Yeah. And he doesn't even drink. He'll have one beer. That's just to be social, he'll have one beer.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I got him to hospital and he had a quadruple bypass.
Oh, right.
You know, that's the way they're...
Yeah, it's that whole, you'll be right.
How are you? I go to him, "How are you going?" He goes, "Mate, I'm so far ahead of the band, they can't hear me. I'm that happy."
He might be able to just get him through it with his own humour and his own head. You know, like, he's giving himself the own therapy.
It's just, they're just different the way. And now, you've got to...
That's all right until you've had a severe heart attack and you're sitting by yourself drinking brandy.
Yeah, the actual physical...
It has to be...
We had a guy, suicide it was, and this is going back about, probably 2 years ago now. Yeah, probably 2 years ago. No, it's a year ago. It feels like 2 years ago. And I heard one of the young blokes go to me, get down here, I've got one. You know, and I went, right. So we bolted down the beach and we started resuscitating this gentleman. And but before leading into this, If, like one of my colleagues did come to me and say, oh, you know, I'm not good today. And I said, just go over, do some breathing, you know, and just relax. I said, I don't actually want you going home. I just want you to relax and take some deep breaths and just go for a little walk, do your own thing. And then he come into play. And he did really well, and he was focused on a couple of things that weren't working. That, you know, it just wasn't going. Not everything goes right. You know, sometimes you can surf away to the beach and do four hooks to the beach, but you know, sometimes you can only do one hook and you fall off the next hook, and then you might make another hook after that. So this just happens. That's just the way it happens in the emergency world in an unfamiliar environment. And he's focused on it. I said, don't worry about it. Just keep going. You know, and he's like, thanks so much. And I said, mate, if you weren't here today, you know, I would have been up shit creek. Because I couldn't execute that by myself or with the other bloke. I needed three of us. And so I said, so there's your self-worth for today. And he's like, looked at me, and, you know, like it meant something to him. So we just, the awareness, you know, yeah, depression's there. And, you know, like depression's real too. Like people might say it's not real, but I've got an identical twin brother that suffers from depression. And I don't have it. You know, I've had a bit of anxiety, you know, when the waves aren't good, but but yeah, so it's different for people. People, you know, feel pain or don't want to leave the house, and you know, so that's why with this virus you're saying we can't leave the bloody house.
What
are we supposed to do?
And you know what? The funny thing is, a lot of the problems that we discuss on this podcast, we always link it back to lacking connection, whether it's to yourself, you know, you kind of touch on that when people drive in the Ferraris and that's their self-sense of identity or connection to the land, you know, environmental issues or just one another as a community. And we've been isolated. So all of a sudden, you know, we're having to face all these issues. So where do we draw the line? Like, fair enough, you know, we've had to do this. But, you know, they keep saying like, well, we won't experience a new normal until... You know, or I just worry about that because you're just setting a chain of events for other issues to manifest itself. Yeah, we've got to get out. Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, well, I mean, I heard you boys saying before that they have changed the shift now. Like, it's not everything's coronavirus on the on the news, you know. Like, there's now starting to say, oh, there's great things happening out there too. You know, there's a bakery open and they're doing amazing sourdough.
Where was that bakery?
That's the cake shop just up the road here. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we've been making our own sourdough here.
Have you?
I don't know about Nick. He's been eating our sourdough. That's about it.
We've got the cake shop up here on the corner. Rainbow.
Heritage.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's if there's Lex Luthor and Kryptonite, that place is it.
And that's how quickly you can change a conversation, guys. We were talking about COVID, then we've gone to the Heritage Bakery. That's what the media needs.
Yeah,
to show people like how quickly you can change your mind on like from negative to positive too.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be dark, gloomy, and the world's gonna end.
Like people, if we keep just focusing on the bad, look, I reckon there's been so many great things come out of this. You know, love. Love for not only your family, but I remember listening to a podcast of this gay bloke, and he was a banker in America and he's a Pilates teacher now. And he said, I know this sounds so Bondi-ish, but he said the most important thing ever, he goes, I was making so much money, but I didn't love myself. And you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And that you have to, you got to love yourself because you're the one that's going to get yourself out of bed. Who do you rely on in the morning? You rely upon yourself to get yourself out of bed.
Yeah.
So fall in love with yourself. You don't need to look into a lagoon and see that mirror.
Wise words. It's true.
Yeah, I noticed the old COVID, everyone's eyebrows are getting so much more bushier. Oh, my God, yeah, my poor missus, she's chasing me around for a third baby, and I go down to the chemist down in Rose Bay, and where I live, there's a lot of Jewish people, and I say, mate, just give me some protection, and I don't want a mask.
Sounds like he's been doing it tough. You know, I saw her old Harry's over there.
Yeah, it's the weather's been hot and she's hot. And it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's a no-go zone.
No, third one on the way.
No.
Yes.
No, yes. Well, actually, yeah, the only way, she just said to Rupert from Bannisters, and he's a great man, Rupert, right?
Oh, yeah, he is.
You know, he's the general manager of Bannisters and you listen to people like that. And she said, I'll move down to Ulladulla, Mollymook, if you have a third child. And I said, done. Done. Yeah, but she won't. She won't. She was like, oh, can we go back for a couple of days? I said, you realise like they do track everything down this way too. You can get your mascara and your spray tan and everything sent down. She doesn't have spray tan.
Hey, honestly, I think Elena was, she spoke the same way when before we moved down.
Yeah,
totally.
It's funny.
It's funny, yeah. You come down here and I think we must have been in town on pension day and she was looking at me going, what have we done? Like, it's full of old people. What have we done?
No way.
But it didn't take long. And, you know, and it was funny that we actually found out that our firstborn, like that she was pregnant with our firstborn the night, like the eve of moving down.
Wow. So we already
threw caution to the wind. We're like, nah, let's just do it. Let's just do it. We'll make it work. And actually, it was the best thing that could happen because we just met a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know, through mother's group. And then, yeah.
Well,
and now you couldn't think of living anywhere else. You know, there's no way you'd go back.
No way. I wouldn't in my wildest dreams. Because, you know, like, you probably might, you guys know how much I love this place. People out in the real world probably think that I'm just, hey, Mr. Bondi. But it comes down to three things: spirit, passion, and hunger, right? And that's in your job, that's in your life. And my passion, my spirit, and my hunger is in a place like this.
Mm.
This is amazing. Mm. This is amazing down here. Like, it's just so beautiful. It's slower. It's that feeling of just going out for a swim was amazing.
Mm.
Crazy. You know, and people coming up to me in the surf at Rennie's, we're social distancing, by the way, too. That's what surfers do. But before I got out in the surf, the whole car park is full of people that watch Bondi Rescue, come down to Mollymook with a nipper training, and they're all coming up just going, hey, you know, thank you for doing this for the community. It's amazing the community's like aware, like, hey, you know, like hard-headed surfers are paddling up going, hey, mate, thanks so much. And I'm going, that is just worth everything.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, this is funny. Yeah, you definitely got a different stage at life, and I think they say the seven-year itch, but, yeah. Obviously, I've got to do the right thing because I'm still a full-time lifeguard, and that's security at the moment.
Yeah.
ScoMo, you're going to need someone to back you. But yeah, like, this would be a dream to come down here.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good to have you down here.
Oh,
it's definitely, we're pretty blessed to live here. It's an awesome community.
Yeah, the people are so nice.
It's just
nice.
Strengthening, I reckon.
Yeah.
Are we going to put them through the initiation?
Yeah. You want to spill it?
No.
Save that one for the... Might scare him off.
What's the... Oh, my God. Not the pogo stick or anything like that. Oh, my God. Well, thanks so much for having me down. The only thing I would love to see everyone, you know, when we get cleared in the next couple of weeks to start coming back down and supporting communities like Mollymook, you know, Milton, Ulladulla, that they need money. You know, they've been through hell. So, you know, come and stay with them. It's the most amazing place on earth, and feel like a human being down here. Yeah, you got to come down. Don't forget the people that lost their houses in those bushfires, because, you know how tragic, you know how much tragedy all these people went through, and we had to watch it from Sydney, and, you know, we did so much, but this is time to actually, you know, at some stage in the next couple of weeks, get back on the road and get down there and support them. And
it's not far off now. I think that we can
a couple of weeks, yeah,
share the love, maybe hug each other a couple of times.
Well, can we go back to China? When are we allowed?
Cut it out.
We're not allowed. I want to travel. No. I won't do anything silly. No, we're friends. I'm friends with everyone. Because I've... Look, we've got a mutual agreement out there, ladies and gentlemen. I love them all. I do. I seriously love them because I've saved so many. They're so cute. They get to the beach and they say, thank you. Thank you so much. They're so cute.
You crack up.
Should we say anything before we finish off about... Manana Matters, a brilliant job, and that the community's done. So,
well, have you
heard about?
Yeah, they say so. They've stopped
Nick,
the ball.
Do you want to fill just for anyone that doesn't know about it that's listening in?
Yeah, sure. Like,
So it was 20.
You were
hesitating. Let's go.
Basically, there's going to be a few clips that's going to be done. Like, I don't need to elaborate on it too much. There's some tree logging going on out at Manana, one of like the most pristine places on this planet that hasn't been touched
by the bushfire. Yeah. That's what made me think of it. You know, it's unburnt bush.
So yeah, it's unburnt bush, and we were basically hit up to get more information put out there to the wider community, and we only kind of really backed it from Saturday last week. And when I say we, it was a community thing. Not just the podcast, but like the whole community down here. And then there's like worldwide people like
chiming in, writing letters.
Yeah, writing letters and things to our government, to Aussie Homes, the company that's doing
that's
it.
Right.
And credit to them, they've held off for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so
thank you, Aussie Homes, for that.
Yeah, we should really be saying thank you. So
what and how many houses do they want to put down so was the, it Green Island
70 odd
clearing the first stage 20 acres
okay
and I think the total development's 70 sorry hectares not acres hectares 20 hectares
yeah
and the total I think being 70 hectares so okay. Stage one is 20 and yeah for subdivision so it's just clearing the whole lot and you know the Western Sydney look you know
yeah
one of the
every house looks the same color bond fence and
oh is that what they wanted.
Yeah, just the standard lot development. Yeah, so.
What about the animals?
Hey,
how many animals? I mean,
well,
this is.
I mean, there's threatened species that are actually in there. Great glider being one of them.
Yeah, wow.
We did a little podcast with the guys from Manana Matters.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a couple of like video clips and stuff, so we don't need to go, I guess, too deep into the logistics of it, but. We basically, like, the main outcome that we would love to see, this is, like, maybe super optimistic, but the Aussie Homes really put this one out there into the universe. That Aussie Homes turns into this full eco company that really would like to, you know, when they do want to do an estate, they're looking at it on doing, you know, using reused timbers and steels and things like that, like, everything from a... Wow. Eco point of view and changing their human basically to
just a different way of development would be brilliant.
Yeah, and they can be
like leave all the some of the big tall woods, you know, sure, remove some of the scrub.
Mm.
Wow.
And just create like a little
they can be the model to say it's doable. We're doing it. We're Aussie Homes. You know, like imagine an Australian company that's first to
yeah, that sounds amazing. So some eco friendly.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll throw this out to Aussie Homes right now. I'll be the face of your company. I'll be the face of your company, and there's no one more Aussie than Harry's that's in every country in the world, on Bondi Rescue. If you put out eco-friendly products, number one. If you put disabled ramps in for people that are down here in Ulladulla, and you have a 20-year plan of giving back to the community.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then look at that.
Brilliant.
Because over 20 years' time, you know, the community's going to need stuff. So,
Harry's, can I add something to your list there? Can you add like a bit of a national park there? Like they're happy to, you know, maybe halve the homes that they've got there. So basically, there's 60-odd% that are holiday homes there. So that they know that they're not necessarily needed for people to live in.
Oh, there's plenty of homes for sale in Manana. So it's not necessarily needed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So so it might be holiday homes or just investment properties. Yeah. So let's leave maybe native or
50% of what they got.
Bushland corridors and things like that.
And like make bush track, like, you know, some, they could turn it into a BMX track.
Oh,
like,
my God, that sounds great, because every time, you know, my twin brother used to live at Bendalong, so how many kangaroos do you see down there?
So it's
obviously going to move them somewhere else, right? So it might move them into, you know, not being there at all.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue. All the bushland surrounding is all burnt out. There's no food. There's nowhere else to go. Okay, so, and one's a threatened great glider, it's called. Massive glider thing. So, yeah, something needs to be done. And the thing, I think another thing from this that would be great if it changes is that this approval was actually, it was back in 2008 that this development was approved.
Wow.
And there's no, we need to change the legislation that if something substantial has happened, like half the state burning down, that, you know, like this should be reevaluated.
So basically,
should be a clause in place saying, listen, we should reevaluate this.
What Treading Lightly is backing, and there's plenty of like ecologists, like environmental defence officers involved, prosecutors, barristers have chimed in and trying to see how to create this moratorium, which is basically a halt on logging.
Wow.
Especially after the fires, and reevaluating the land for what it is.
It's just not good time, is it?
No, it's not good time.
And we can do things better, basically.
Yeah, and you're saying there's how many places for sale down there? Yeah. Probably 40, 50?
Heaps.
Lots. Yeah. So 60% of it is holiday homes. So there's 40% of that place is the permanent people.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's the... If you 100% throw that little snippet of Harry saying
Aussie homes,
that would have been, I'd love to see your head on their thing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you see Harry's head on there, then you know that company's gone eco, because he's not going to be the face of it if it's,
that's right, if it's not eco friendly, if it's not giving back to the disabled people, you know, in Ulladulla, and they need to see kangaroos and you know, have beautiful tracks to walk on to or be pushed on. And then obviously giving back to the community with a proven record over 20 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
That'd be beautiful.
What a way to finish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Legend.
I mean, what'd you say, Aussie homes? I said Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Beautiful. So good to have you on, Harry's.
Love you guys.
Yeah, love you too, man.
Yes.
And we'll, anytime,
bang,
we'll have you on again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait.
Let us know next time you're down, and definitely.
And I'm not racist, so I love everybody. I love John Laws.
We'll get you a golden mic next time you're here, mate.
I used to just love this thing. Good morning, world.
You're good at that music. You are good at that.
Where does he get his hair done? I love it.
where do you get yours done? Tony and Guy. Maybe you guys the same joint.
I get my hair done at Tony and Guy. I get the highlights done just around the corner. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't. You don't do stuff like that in Sydney.
No one would do that.
No, it's getting colder. We don't call it frosted tips.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
You're a legend.
All right.
Love you. Treading.